No,
you were not divorced.
I was not divorced, no. Who had money for a divorce?
No. Were you thinking about it, though? Or
no, I didn't. What difference? Mm-hmm. As long as we were apart.
Mm-hmm. So during the war years, it sounds like you were really involved around work, kids, to some extent, your family, in terms of your sister and your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
In terms of social life.
I didn't see too much of them because it was the same thing. They were working, and you know.
Was your brother still in Alaska, or was he?
Oh no, he didn't have to stay there very long. He came home, and he was home. I don't remember what he was doing. He worked at one time. He worked for the county fire. What do you call the head of the fire department? Fire chief. Mm. He was the driver for the fire chief. I don't think he did that when he first came home from Alaska. Yeah, he was back.
You have a couple family members around then.
Yeah, I had my brother and my sister.
Did you feel you were able to turn?
Well, no, I don't know. I didn't think much about that. But I guess I just know, well, they're there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can feel that. Somebody's there. You're not completely abandoned.
No. Tell me in terms of, we talked about your father being a union agent, and that you joined the union during the war.
Yeah.
Were you involved at all in any way in the union during the war years? Did you ever go to a meeting, for instance?
Yeah, I used to go. I went to meetings sometimes. I never went very often because, not in the first, because that was too hectic and everything was too terrible, but then later on, I remember going to a few meetings, but I never got involved in anything.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the meetings?
Oh, you just, I don't know, what meetings are, you tell you what happened last time. If you weren't there, what do you care? And if you were there, you know, so they always read these minutes. And then, these men get up and blather about everything. And I don't remember. I think I remember one time there was, I guess that's probably why I went. There was some kind of something was going on that somebody was protesting about, but I don't know what it was or whether it was important or what.
Do you remember any grievances ever? For instance, did you ever?
No, I never had. The only grievance I ever had was I wanted to get off the day shift.
Which the union?
Yeah, the union. Yeah, they did help me. The steward helped me with that.
Now, once you transferred to clerical work, you still stayed in the union?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all the same union.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall other women?
Most everybody that I worked with, it seemed to me, all belonged to the union. Almost everybody. Mm-hmm. Some people, of course, didn't. I remember one woman saying, oh, those unions, it's a big fraud. And nobody ever heard of a union until Franklin Roosevelt. Yeah, I remember reading that. Yeah, what's his name? Benjamin Franklin had trouble with the union.
Did at the meetings that you went to, do you recall the women?
I don't remember anything really about those meetings.
But you were obviously aware of the steward, for instance.
Yeah, we always knew who our steward was in our section of the shop or whatever.
Did you have a male or female steward?
The one I remember was a man. I don't remember. Oh, I know there was a girl, a woman lived across the street from me at that time, and her daughter worked at Lockheed, though I didn't know her at all or where she worked, because, Lockheed employed thousands. And she was active in the union. I don't know what she did or what was going on or anything, but I remember hearing that, that she was active because her little sister, this woman's kids, my age, I heard them one night playing on the street, and one of them was mad at somebody else. He said, you're you're an AF of L and something else, I don't know. I thought, oh, gee, they belong to the union. But she evidently, she didn't know what AF of L was because she was thought it was, she was using it, you know, pejoratively.
Before I asked you about your feelings that the war was coming to an end, you mentioned last time when we first started talking that on the phone you said, oh, you could remember any minorities. Can you talk a little bit about your recollections of the other workers, both in terms of minorities and also so-called Okies, and what the relationships were like between
there's a lot of Okies. And I'm not prejudiced, but well, some of the, you know, those, well, you know, what we called Okies. You feel kind of embarrassed to say things like that now. It's so stupid. But what I didn't like about those people, I mean, I don't know how to say this, I'm not saying I didn't like, but was that the way they talked, I couldn't understand them. I think, gee, they talk about foreigners. Why don't they learn how to speak English? But yeah, there were a lot of people. Well, of course, there were people from everywhere, everywhere in the country. They all came to Lockheed to work, from Connecticut and everywhere. And I don't remember anything particular about them. I think this woman that was said that nobody ever heard of the union until Franklin Roosevelt brought it in. She was an Okie. We didn't. I don't know where these people were from. They couldn't all have been from Oklahoma, but they were all clubbed together, you know, Okies. And we had a rubber stamp. And then the black people, there were several. Some people that I remember them, and I don't know whether they're black or white, because I didn't pay much attention to that. But there were a number of them, and there were... there was some Mexican or Spanish speaking, because of course, yeah, there has to be in anywhere in Southern California.
What do you recall the feelings towards?
Yeah, so I don't think anybody. Oh, except for this boy that had trouble on the tennis team. Yeah, but otherwise, I don't think anybody. Excuse me, felt anything special about them. I mean, we're all in the same boat. We're all working it there. And there didn't seem to be any discrimination or anything.
Black workers were more likely to all be in one work area, have one kind of work assignment. Did they seem like in the plant to be clustered? Were there any black women when you were in the clerical area, working in that area?
I can't remember whether there were any black women there or not, working in the offices. Yeah, I remember. There were very few, I'm sure. But in the plant, there were more. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody paid any particular attention one way or the other.
There was your problems over the bathroom, that sort of thing.
No, nothing.
What, when you were working in the... up in the offices, in the clerical job, what was the physical setup there like?
Well, they were just big, huge, again, offices, rows of desks, and I don't remember anything special, just like any other office.
How many people would be in this office area, would you say?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I don't know, 30, 40, maybe.
So it'd be one large room, basically.
Yeah.
Everyone, no partitions or
no,
anything.
No, and some, yeah, there'd be
space.
Some offices like that. And then other offices were smaller. Well, they were small offices. Oh!
Did you ever think that feel you want to go back to the production work?
No, I didn't care about doing that.
And he said earlier something that was going on and you didn't think about it, there being an end point to it.
Yeah.
As it did seem like it was going to end, though, what did you think was going to happen in terms of your own life and work? That's what
well, I hoped I could go right on working there. But then, of course, that was silly because we knew there were going to be layoffs. And I was laid off in 45, I guess. I wasn't one of the very first, but I was laid off early on.
How many jobs did you have?
I don't remember. I don't know whether it was a couple of weeks or what.
Well, as the first layoffs occurred, how did you feel? What did you think was going to happen?
Well, everybody said, you know, President died. Oh, I remember that day. And then everybody said now they're going to be laying off people because they're not going to make any. I don't know. I guess we thought they weren't going to make any more airplanes ever again. Oh, peace. You know, we're back to baby carriages. I don't know. I knew that someday I was going to be laid off, and then I had to go looking for a job. And then when it happened, it seemed like an awful blow. You know, what will I do?
At that point, but, you were how old?
I think Grace was still in high school, so they were all still in school and. I don't remember. Grace must have been still in high school because she didn't graduate till I think it was 47 or something like that.
So you still had the phones.
We were still the same age. So anyway, when I got laid off, I just thought, oh, you know, what is this, but it's going to be all right because I have to do something. I have to do it. I got unemployment pay for a while I was looking for a job, and I started looking for a job, and of course so were thousands of other people, so it wasn't easy. Well, I suppose we got along somehow. We got along all right on it. I don't know, I don't remember those
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that, and I don't remember at all.
It sounds like it was difficult, something that you worried about.
Oh, yeah, I always knew that, because you can't, I don't think I've consciously said in the United States you can't die of starvation in the street, but that was kind of the thought I had, somehow or another. So, I kept looking and looking, and I got a job in an insurance company, and it was less pay. I don't know how much less pay. It wasn't as much as I was making.
How long were you out of work before you started?
Well, almost as long as you get unemployment.
So about 6 months, probably.
Oh, no, not nearly. Oh, I think it was only, I think you got an unemployment insurance for something like 10 or 12 weeks. And I was out maybe 6 or 8
mm-hmm.
weeks.
How did you know about unemployment insurance?
I don't know. I guess it's, you know, it's just one of those things I guess everybody knows.
Well, the reason I asked is because everyone correctly didn't know.
Oh.
Some women talk about, I didn't even know at the time that I could have gotten it, unless I wondered if the union had informed you or...
Well, perhaps the union would have told us, but, I don't know, I suppose I maybe heard from other people. The newspapers must have... And I subscribed to the... didn't subscribe, but I always bought... I read religiously the Daily News. Remember the Daily News?
I don't think it was here when I was
It was a nice paper. It was a tabloid size, but it was a good paper. And at that time, the Times was awful. Bunch of old mossbacks.
That reminds me about newspapers. Did you read the Lockheed Company paper?
Oh, yeah, we used to get a paper. I don't remember anything about it. But I know that there was a paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always got it, and I suppose I read it. I always read everything that came along. If it was in print, I read it. I often wonder if I would ever find one of those again.
There are these Harlequin books, I understand, that are very similar to those 1910s,
1920s. Those, they advertise them on television.
Yeah.
They 12 of them a month or something. Oh, yeah. Well, I think these were worse even than that. They were more flowery and, you know, ugh.
Is there anything, I think that will stop at this point today, the next step starts with your finding your job right after the war. Is there anything else during the war years, though, that we should cover?
Yeah, I don't know. Those war years were something that I just lived through in another life. And it was forward, try to sleep. Never got enough sleep, and you know, trying to keep the kids in line and corral, and will they ever turn out to be anything with the upbringing they're getting? They're not being brought up, they're just growing. And, you know, that's it, I guess.
Was your feeling of tiredness and not getting enough sleep partially a result of not being able to sleep during the daytime because you were graveyard shift?
Well, yeah, it was, somebody was always, I don't know why people were so dumb about it, but somebody was always waking me up. My sister-in-law, who worked herself, she worked swing shift hours, she would call me up, and I don't know, tell me, oh, are you asleep? I should say, oh, you're sleeping again? Oh, she used to make me furious. I'd say, Mary, if you call me up again, I'll kill you. But the next time she wanted to call me, she called me.
It sounds like you remember the years of being really tired and hard.
Yeah, that's what I remember about it like. But then I think, no, it wasn't like that. It was, you know, not altogether.
Yeah.
It was, we had fun. We had fun. But you know, talking and telling
mm-hmm.
jokes and whatever, and then it was stimulating. You know, it was exciting. You were doing this vital work. We thought. When I think of it now, some of it didn't seem like anything. It was just like made up stuff. That old whatever his name was, I forget the owner of that plant. Gross, Robert Gross made up to keep us happy. I don't care. It gave us almost enough to eat. And I guess that's it. It wasn't all that bad, and it was exciting, and it was you know, listening to the war news. And so what was so terrible. And one of them had a son on Tarawa. I got goose pimples thinking about it. And things like that, you know, pretty terrible. I guess it kept up, but it was awful.
Were you in touch with your family members who were in the service at all?
Two of my nephews came here while they were in the service.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a nephew who was shot down over Germany on D-Day. He was in a P-38. He was a pilot in a P-38. And a very young boy. And the others were in different things. One of them was a navigator on a B-17. And then one was the oldest, my daughter, my sister's oldest son, the one that everything, he always got everything on a silver tray. He was in the Navy, and he spent the war in the Charlestown Navy Yard, chipping paint. But the other one, I had another one who was, he was a hero. He got citations and everything. He was in the Army. He wore glasses that were that thick, and his eyesight was bad. Sharpshooter, and then, you know, that's, you get medals for that. I mean, that's how the way they seem to do everything during the war. whether you could do it or not, you had to do it.
Anything else you can think of about the warriors?
No, I just remember all those times when we didn't have. When I got a telephone, the Union fellow got help me get a telephone. I pressed and never said ever after. So I didn't need a telephone. The kids wanted one, and they were on it all the time. I remember one time I wanted to call somebody, I don't know who I was calling, to tell them the store at the corner. I guess I was calling my daughter. I was calling my sister-in-law, somebody. And I wanted to tell them that up at the store they had butter and bacon. I think it was. They had toilet paper and bacon. I wanted to call, tell her, you know, quick, get up there. And we were on a party line. And this boy was talking. And I asked him to get off the line. I said, I want to tell him. He said, I can tell you, too. Because I knew where he lived, right in the next street. I said, you know, up at Blondie's, they got toilet paper and bacon. And he said, yeah. So what do I care? but that's how it was. And I never, a lot of people had, they'd go to the same place, you know, and they knew the butchers, and then they'd get stuff under the counter. I never got anything like that because I never got that well acquainted with anybody in the store. But I'd hear them saying at work, you know, they got a steak or something.
You probably couldn't have afforded it anyhow.
No, I couldn't have bought it. Yeah, and how can you buy a steak for five people? I don't know. Well, anyway, it was exciting. It was exciting. And then, of course, everything we heard on the radio and then the movies and everything, it was all propaganda to pep you up, you know. They kept us always on the up.